Good morning and welcome to our service. Now, this is normally part of the platform that I stay away from. Usually on a Sunday morning, this is filled with musicians and singers, people from our congregation who lead us and who help us sing songs of praise and worship. I really miss seeing our gifted musicians here each week. But we've got something special for you today because a number of our musicians and our singers have recorded our opening song. They've recorded this individually at home, and our tech genius in the church, Dave McDermott, has done all the hard work, and he's brought all these individuals together to lead us in our opening song. So let's sing together. The song's called Worthy is the Lamb. And after we've sung this together, Paul Aston, one of our church deacons, is going to lead us in prayer.
Good morning, everyone. So let's pray, please. 2 Timothy 1 verse 4 says, I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning in week 6 without being able to worship as a collective people in our church building. I pray, Heavenly Father, at this time when we are physically apart, that spiritually we will be closer than ever. Always looking forward to that first Sunday in church, and what a day that will be. We thank you for Christ, for a Saviour who willingly gave himself to be crucified to cover our sins. Help us never to lose sight of the blessings and grace that have been poured into our lives. I pray that wherever we are this morning, that your Holy Spirit would come and meet with us. We also pray for our church, from the youngest through to the oldest member, for households under restriction, for young families, for worry over job security, and for the nervousness that we feel in these trying times. Members of our church have known sadness and loss at this time. We pray for them individually and collectively, that you would bring comfort and help during extreme testing and emotional times. We remember Peter and our elders as they pastor to a church in unprecedented times, trying to encourage us in the Lord. Also, for those nurses and doctors and key workers who combine to fight this virus day and daily, wisdom, discernment and guidance for governments and scientists looking for a vaccine. Also remembering these people, Lord, who are frightened and worried and are now praying to our God, maybe for the first time. I pray, Lord, when we are struggling through this pandemic with worry or concern, regardless of what it may be, we will remember the sadness of the two followers on the road to Emmaus. Jesus walked with them even though they didn't realize it. So let's take heart that, like these two followers, Christ is always near. Help us to focus, Lord, on the cross, which can in itself be difficult at times. So we just bring this service before you, asking you to bless and encourage. And I pray, Lord, we will take that encouragement into the week ahead. Amen.
Thank you to our musicians and Paul as well. Now, we've been learning lots about prayer with the boys and girls each week. One day, the disciples, that's the followers of Jesus, they came to him, they asked him this great question. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the reason they asked him that is that all of us in life need to be taught how to pray. Prayer isn't something we just know how to do. We have to be taught how to pray. The very best teacher is Jesus himself. He teaches us through a prayer that is often called the Lord's Prayer. Now I wonder, boys and girls, do you know the Lord's Prayer? Well, we find it in the Bible. If you don't know it, or maybe you've forgotten how it goes, here's a number of the children from our church to remind us of the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
That was great. Thank you to all the children who took part. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father in heaven. Jesus calls us his brothers and sisters, and he invites us to pray to his Father as our Father. And that's actually the first line of the Lord's Prayer. That's the line that Gabe said. And just to remind you of that, let's hear it again.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
God is a Father who welcomes, loves, and responds to his children. He is our Father who lives in heaven. This reminds us that he's not limited to our time and space. From heaven, he rules over all the earth. Even though he is in heaven, he listens to the prayers of all of his children. He is ready and able to help us. And so there's a verse in the Bible here that we see in our prayer book, and it says these words, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are." And because of that, we can pray. We can pray to our Father in heaven. So let's do that now. Let's pray. Dear God, we come before you and we thank you that we can call you Father, that you're a loving Heavenly Father. And we are your children if we have trusted in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, like a good father, you love us, you care for us, you're interested in us. And we pray that for each one of us, we would come to you with our prayers, knowing that you will hear and you will answer and you will bless your children. And we thank you for this in the lovely name of your special son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to sing our children's song. It's a favorite song of mine. It's called Wisdom. And when we read God's special book, the Bible, it teaches us how to live our lives here on earth. It teaches us how to do the right thing. In fact, it makes us wise. And this is a great song. It's got brilliant actions as well. So really sing it out. And Molly's going to help us do the actions again this week.
There is something that's better than the latest toy. There is something that never can be destroyed. It's worth more than jewels and gold or anything money can buy. W-I-S-T-O-M spells wisdom. To my own self, I always tend to go astray. But in the Bible, you reveal your perfect way. You teach me to think like you instead of being a fool.
Don't wanna be that.
W-I-S-T-O-M spells wisdom. I need it. W-I-S-T-O-M in your word. I wanna love it, live it, learn it, read it.
W-I-S-T-O-M.
I wanna know it, think it, speak it, breathe it, yeah, yeah, yeah.
W-I-S-T-O-M spells wisdom, and I need it. W-I-S-T-O-M in your word, I find it. Oh, W-I-S-T-O-M spells wisdom, and I need it.
Thank you, Molly. Now, I realize that some of you watching today don't come to our church, or maybe don't go to any church. We really appreciate you watching our service. But maybe you've been watching for a few weeks and you hear me talking about Jesus Christ and maybe talking about the gospel, and you've maybe heard these words or concepts before, but you don't really understand it. Maybe it's a little bit confusing to you. What we're going to do now is we're going to watch a short video, and hopefully this will help you understand the message of the Bible a little bit better.
3, 2, 1. The story of God, the world, and you. 3. God is three persons united in love. In the beginning, there were three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not three different gods, one God who is an unbreakable unity of three. A triunity, or Trinity. The Trinity is not a maths problem or an ancient riddle. It's the good news that God is love. Forever, the Father has loved his Son in the unity of the Spirit. How do we picture this? Well, the Son of God is the image of God. He gives us our window onto God's life. So, for instance, picture his baptism. There we see the Holy Spirit descending on him while the Father declares, "You are my Son who I love. With you I am well pleased." That's a snapshot of God's eternal life. The Father has always been loving his Son with the joy of the Holy Spirit. But this love was too good to keep to themselves. The God of love wants to share. And so the Father made a world through his Son and by his Spirit because he wants billions more children to join the family. You and I were made to hear his verdict. You are my child who I love. With you, I am well pleased. The meaning of life is to find our place in the three. 2. The world is shaped by two representatives. God placed one representative, Adam, at the head of the human race to bless it and care for it. But through mistrust, Adam turned from God, turned in on himself, and plunged the world into death and curse. It was a cosmic fall from grace. Now we all share in this broken humanity, and we feel the curse of this broken world. The human race is like a Christmas tree that's been cut down and wrenched from its natural habitat. We might dress ourselves up in fancy decorations, we might perform all sorts of good deeds, but we're perishing. We have no spiritual life in us, and we're headed for the rubbish dump. The race of Adam stands under God's condemnation. God has pronounced an eternal no to that way of life, because he wants something very different for us. He wants us all to find true life in a second Adam, Jesus Christ. At Christmas, Jesus came as a man. He entered into our broken world and took up our lost cause. Like a champion who wins the contest for us, Jesus stepped into our shoes and lived the perfect life we could never live. Then on the cross, he died the cursed death that we should die. He summed up Adam's nature and curse and took it down to the hellish death it deserves. But 3 days later, he rose again to a new life beyond death and curse. And he invites us into his life and into his family. 1. You are one with Adam. Will you be one with Jesus? The human condition is Adam's condition. As chips off the old block, we share in his selfishness, his death, his disconnection from God. One with Adam, we have no life in ourselves and no hope for the future. But Jesus comes to offer a stunning oneness with himself. Like with the Christmas tree, we can be snipped out of the Adam tree and grafted into the Christ tree. Or think of another picture of oneness. We can be one with Jesus, like in a marriage. Imagine a marriage between a prince and a pauper. She's filthy and poor with a shameful name and a hopeless future. Yet the prince loves her and offers himself to her in marriage. As soon as they're united, what happens? He takes all her debts, she gets all his riches. He covers over her shameful name and gives her his name. She's invited into his life, his family, his inheritance. Through her prince, she can call the king daddy, and all because of their marriage union. It's just like that with Jesus. If we receive him, all that is ours, our sin and curse, becomes his. He pays it all off on the cross. And all that is his righteousness and inheritance, becomes ours. If we're one with Jesus, right now we're adopted into the family. We have his Spirit as our Spirit. We have his Father as our Father. We belong to his brothers and sisters in the church. We call on the same Father and hear his love spoken to us. You are my child who I love. With you I am well pleased. These are our privileges now, and when Christ returns, we will also share in his physical, immortal life. He will raise us bodily and set the world to rights. On that day, God will judge the world, forever confirming his no to Adam and his yes to Christ. You are one with Adam, but there's no future in that life. And with arms outstretched, Jesus makes a proposal. He offers you himself, his very life, his family, his future. He's yours if you'll have him. Be one with Jesus. The three invite you in. The two determine the world. Will you be one with the Son of God?
If I'm ever listening to the radio in the morning, maybe I'm driving the girls about, dropping them off to school, I usually put on and listen to 5 Live. I like getting the sports updates. But one of the presenters in the morning on their breakfast show is a man called Nicky Campbell. And as he talks, he sometimes likes to share the fact that he was adopted as a 4-day-old baby. And he speaks so favourably, he speaks so lovingly about his adoptive parents. They were called Sheila and Frank Campbell. And he just praises them. He praises them for providing him with a loving home. A few years ago, he appeared on the BBC TV show Who Do You Think You Are? It's a show that takes celebrities and it looks at their ancestors and follows their family line to try and find if there's any secrets there. And when Nicky Campbell appeared on that show, he didn't look back and research his biological family, even though he knew who his biological parents were. No, he decided to look into the family of his adoptive parents, for in his mind, they were his real parents. His adoptive mother, Sheila, died just before Christmas. And when she died, Nicky Campbell wrote these words. She was my real mum. The day she adopted me, I won the lottery in life. The day she adopted me, I won the lottery in life. And thankfully, adoptions like that, the way Nicky Campbell was adopted and loved by a family, is a beautiful thing. When a family welcomes in another person, somebody from outside their family, but they bring them in and they treat them with love and care and they treat them like their own flesh and blood and transform a needy life. It's a beautiful thing. Now, adoption is actually a biblical concept. And in the Bible, again, it's a beautiful thing. It's an incredible truth. Now, last week we started our series in Ephesians, and we're working through Ephesians 1 at the moment. And when you get to verse 3 of chapter 1 through to verse 14, this stretch of 12 verses, I said last week, it's actually one big long sentence. The Apostle Paul doesn't stop to take breath. He just flows out with praises to God. And the image I used last week, it was like this beautiful chain, these 12 verses. And along this piece of jewelry, there are jewels, there are diamonds, blessings, spiritual blessings that Paul praises God for. And so last week we thought about this glorious jewel that we have been chosen in Christ. And today as we work our way along this chain, we come to the next diamond, the next jewel. And it's this glorious truth that we have been adopted in Christ Jesus. And if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have experienced the greatest adoption possible. Not only have you been adopted by God, a heavenly Father, all the blessings that flow from being a member of the family of God are now yours. And so we read about it in Ephesians 1. It's a short reading. I'm going to do it myself today. But let's listen to God's word as we pick it up at verse 5. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Now, adoption in the Bible means that it's the start of a brand new family relationship. We are taken from outside God's family and we are brought into it. We become his children and he becomes our heavenly Father. Now, adoption in the Bible is a gift. It's this glorious gift that comes as a result of salvation. And so when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, one of the blessings that flows from that is we are brought into God's family. When we receive Christ, we also receive adoption. Let's listen to these words from the book of Galatians. It's another letter that Paul wrote to a church, Galatians 4 and verses 4 and 5. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. God sent forth his Son, his only Son, his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for what purpose? That he might bring more sons, more children into his family. Now, God is everyone's creator. Everybody in this world, everybody watching our service today can say, God is my creator. He is the creator of all things. But actually, not everybody in this world, and probably not everybody watching this service, is able to say, God is my Father. And so we thought with the children about the Lord's Prayer. And right at the start of the Lord's Prayer, it starts, Our Father who art in heaven. But for some of you, you can't actually pray that prayer because you can't actually call God your Father. Because if you're not inside the family of God, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ, which brings you into God's family, you're outside. Yes, God is your creator, the one who made you, but you're not in that special relationship with him. You can only call him your Father if you've been trusted in Jesus Christ, his Son, and you've been adopted into the family. But when you trust the Lord, God is no longer a distant God from you. He's a loving heavenly Father. One of the phrases we find about or read about in the New Testament is the phrase, Abba, Father. That's what we now get to call him if we've been brought into God's family. Abba, Father. The word Abba is more of an intimate name for Father. And so when I ring my dad, it's my dad's birthday a few days ago, and I rang him to wish him a happy birthday. When I rang, I didn't say, hello, Father, or I didn't say, hello, William, which is his proper name. I called him Dad, because we have this kind of intimate relationship. And when I was younger, I would have extended that out. Dad would have been Daddy, because there's a familiarity there. We are in a special relationship. I'm his child and he's my father. And when we're brought into God's family, we're able to call God Abba Father. It's an equivalent of calling him Dad or Daddy. He's our father and we are his beloved child in this unique family relationship. Now, some of you might struggle with trying to grasp this kind of concept because maybe you've grown up in a family where there were difficult relationships, maybe strained relationships with a father, or maybe an absent father who you never knew. But when we come to God, as the God who's revealed in the Bible, we discover somebody who is a perfect father. He's not absent. He's not an abusive father. He's not a father who strays away. No, he is the perfect father in every way. And he is one who is perfect in his love for his children as well. And we know that that relationship that he has for his children is based in love, because that's how our reading started today. It said, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. In love. That was the motive of his heart. He predestined. That means he destined something. He planned for it to happen before it actually did. He predestined us for adoption. That was something that happened before the foundation of the world, before this world even came into existence. God, in his love that he had already set upon us, had planned for us to be adopted, to become the children of God. And so when Nicky Campbell spoke about his mother, he said, when she adopted me, I won the lottery in life. In other words, he had hit the jackpot. He had won the biggest prize. But for him, it was a lottery. It was just down to chance, whatever family he ended up with. This was no lottery when it comes to our adoption if we're believers, because it was predestined. It was planned before the foundation of the world. Now, as I look out trying to preach this sermon here today, there's only one person I see, the only person in this room, and this is strange because normally as I look out on a Sunday, there's lots of people here in the church building. The only person I see is one of my daughters, Josie. She's operating her camera. She puts our whole online service together each week, and I'm grateful for that. But as I look out, I see somebody who I have a special relationship with. We have a father and child relationship. And so as I look out, I see somebody who I love. And the reason I love her is because I'm her father and she's my child. I loved her the day I found out that we were expecting a child. Now, when I found out Joanne was pregnant, I didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl, but I already started to love this unborn child. I loved her the day she was born, way back in 2005, when I held her in my arms for the first time. And despite the number of times that she drops hints looking for more money so she can buy more clothes, I will keep on loving Josie. I will love her for the rest of her life. And it's not based on any merit, the fact that she makes our services, gives her more credit in my love and my affection. No, I love her because, well, I'm her father and she is my child. It's a unique relationship. But God's love for his adopted children is even greater than this kind of relationship. Because God has loved us for an even longer period of time. He loved us before the foundation of the world, before our parents had even thought about us, before our parents had even conceived us. He loved us and he had planned to adopt us into our family. And he loves us with an everlasting love. His love will never stop. Throughout all eternity, when we are in his presence, when we get to see him face to face forever and ever and ever, there will be no end, there will be no limit for his love towards us. Now, verse 5 here says that he adopted us as sons. Now, that might irritate some of you, particularly if you're a female, you're thinking, well, what about us? Why does it not say sons and daughters? Is this a bit of a sexist passage here? Now, we need to take it in the context. Paul wrote this letter about 2,000 years ago, and back in those days, daughters had no rights. They had no rights within the family. They couldn't inherit anything. They didn't have the privileges or the benefits that a son would have. And yet when God adopts us into his family, whether we're male or female, there's no distinction. You're given all the rights, all the privileges that a son back in biblical times would have had. Now, that was radical for its time when this came out 2,000 years ago, as this letter was written for the first time, that people, male and female, would be treated in the same way, with the same rights, the same blessings, and the same privileges. And how is it all possible? Well, it's all possible, the verse says, through Jesus Christ. And then it goes on the verse to describe who Jesus Christ is. He's the beloved. So God the Father has a beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And his Son, his only Son, came into this world. And he came and he died on a cross, taking the punishment, not for his sins, but for our sins. And he offers us salvation. And when we trust Christ, we receive this incredible blessing. We are adopted into the same family. Like Jesus, we are now the sons of God. And the only way the Bible says of joining this family, of being adopted into it, is coming through the Son, the beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Let's listen to these words from John chapter 1 and verse 12. It says this, "To all who did receive him," that's Jesus, "who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And the way to become a child of God is to receive him, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, to believe in his name, to believe who he is, that he is God's Son, that he died for you and he rose again, and then we will have the right to become the children of God. I wonder, have you ever come? Have you ever received Jesus Christ? If you haven't done that, you're actually outside of the family of God, and so you need to come. And you need to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And one of the blessings that flows from that is you're adopted into this incredible family, the children of God. And you're then able to call God the Father your Father. Now, why did the Father want to adopt us? Why did a loving, holy Father in heaven want to adopt people like you and people like me? Well, we're told in verse 6 of our passage, it says, "To the praise of his glorious grace." It's so that he would be praised. And what we would praise is his glorious grace. When God adopts us, it's not some reward for our good living, as if there's some merit in us, that he wants us as part of his family. No, it's all down to his glorious grace, where he gives us something that we don't deserve. Let me give you an illustration to show how it's all of grace. God is a judge. That's what the Bible teaches us. He's a holy judge. He's a judge who will need to judge sin and he will need to punish it. And so when a holy judge looks at people like us, what does he see? He sees our sins, and our sins come before him and we deserve to be punished. The hammer needs to come down and the verdict is guilty, because that's what we are in the sight of a holy God. And yet in the courtroom of God, we stand there and something incredible happens. Jesus Christ comes and he appears in our defense if we are trusting in him. And he stands there and he says, "I have taken their punishment. I have taken their place." And when the holy judge looks at us, he doesn't see our sins. He doesn't see our guilt, because Jesus has taken it. What does he see instead? He sees that we're innocent. He sees the righteousness of Christ now covering our sins. And so he makes a verdict, and the verdict is, innocent, you are free to go. The Bible uses a legal term to describe that. It's called justification. Justification means it's just as if we've never sinned. And that is the legal verdict. You're innocent. You are free to go. And so in Romans 1, it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ, your faith is in Christ, you won't be condemned by a holy judge. And that's an incredible thing. Praise God for that, that if you're trusting in Christ, you've been declared innocent. But it's not the end of the story. Because the judge doesn't turn to us and say, you're free, off you go. He actually leaves his seat and he walks down and he puts his arm around you and he says, you are free to go, but I want you to do something else instead. I want you to come back into my home. I want you to sit at my table, not as a visitor, but as part of my family. I want to adopt you to be part of my family. And all the blessings which are mine are now yours. And all the privileges that come from being a child of God are now yours. And you have an inheritance that will never fade, an inheritance that will last forever and ever, because that's the blessing that comes from being my child. And so from now on, call me, the Holy Judge, Father. Abba, Father, because you're my child. Isn't that an incredible thing? That the judge doesn't only declare us innocent, he adopts us into his family as well. It's an incredible truth. And what should it do inside our hearts? Well, it should evoke something. It should evoke unlimited praise. And so that's why in this psalm it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us, as we thought about last week, but also this week, who's adopted us into his family. Now, not only does a new relationship come about between us and a Heavenly Father, we also have a new relationship with other people as well, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so if I flip over to another page here in the book of Ephesians, the chapter 2, and I read from verse 19, you hear these words here. So then, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Because it's not only us who have been brought into the household of God, the children of God. It's all our other brothers and sisters in Christ, the members of the church. And so what we need to do is we need to get a right view of what church actually is. Church is a family. It's not a group of friends, and you might come along to our church and have lots of friends in it, and that's good. It's not just a group of random people brought together. As you look around, particularly a church our size, there are people you know really well, and there's other people, well, I don't really know that person. But actually, the concept we need to get into your head is we are a family. We are the children of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we realize this new relationship, it changes the dynamic of how a church should function. And so we need to treat each other as if we are family. Now, not a dysfunctional family. One of the things you quickly learn in pastoral ministry is that no family is normal. My own family isn't normal because, well, none of us are normal. We're all broken, sinful people, and we bring that kind of baggage into our family relationships as well. But when Christ has changed us, even with our biological family, it should try and change the dynamics, how we love one another and care for one another and treat one another. And that should be the same in a church family as well. So as we interact with one another, we show love and we show care and we're praying for one another because our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we serve one another. It's not all about me, what can I get, but a proper family that's working, functioning properly is all about serving one another, looking for the best interest. How can I help my brothers and sisters? That we're encouraging one another. We're not jealous of the gifts and the abilities they have or the things they do, and we're holding that against them. No, we're encouraging them. And when one part of the family is joyful, we rejoice with them. When one part of the family is mourning and grieving, we mourn with them as well, because that's the proper dynamics of a family. But not only do we have new relationships with God, our Father, and not only do we have new relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ, the church, we also get new family privileges as well. As sons of the Most High God, we receive all the blessings and all the privileges that flow from that. Now, I have two daughters who go to school in Belfast. They get the train in and out of Belfast each day. When they're able, they go to school, which they're not able to do at the moment. Now, after a hard day at school, one of the things they both like to do is go to Cafe Nero. And one of the favourite things that I like to get there is a hot chocolate with all the trimmings on top as well. And they have an app on their phone, and that app is for Cafe Nero, and it's linked to my credit card. You might think that's a really foolish thing to do, but after a hard day, they're allowed to go in with a limit. It's once a week, which they're usually good at adhering to, but they're able to go in and order this hot chocolate. It's one of the blessings of being part of our family. They have access to my resources. Now, I don't give this out to everybody. I'm not putting this on the app of every pupil in their schools. No, nobody else gets it. But they get it as a small blessing, a small perk of being in my family. They're able to access some of the resources. But when you're a part of God's family, there's so much more. There are so many wonderful privileges and blessings that flow. All the riches of God's grace, all the riches of God's wisdom now belong to us. There's lots of things we could unpack. But one of the privileges of being in God's family is the knowledge that He cares for us. He cares for us through all the days of our life, and even all the days beyond this life here on earth as well. And what are we told in Scripture about His heart for us, for His children? We're told that His plans are for good and not for evil. Why? Because He's a loving Heavenly Father. He's not an absent father. Sadly, there are many children in this world who experience absent fathers, who go, who wander off, who drift away. What are we told about our Heavenly Father? He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's one of the privileges of being in God's family. One of the other privileges of being in God's family is we do not have to be anxious for anything. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his listeners not to worry, not to worry about the supply of their needs, because a loving Heavenly Father would meet all their needs. Let me read this well-known portion from Matthew chapter 6. Again, let's listen to God's word. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yea, I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. And so what he's saying is, don't worry. If God, the Creator, looks after the birds and the lilies in the field, how much more will He provide and care for those who are His children? And so don't worry about these things. And speaking at this time at the moment in the climate of our world, people are anxious, we're fearful. But one of the privileges of being part of God's family is we don't need to be anxious or fearful, because we have a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us. Another privilege of being part of God's family is we have free access to speak to our Heavenly Father. We can approach Him, and we are assured that He hears our prayers as well. Sadly, some children have limited access to their fathers. Maybe there's been some separation in the family, maybe see their father for maybe one day or 2 days or 3 days every so often. There's limited access. We don't have that. In fact, we can come and we can talk to our Heavenly Father at any time. Now, I live with my children and I get to see them all the time. But even with that, there are limits to their access to me. So if I'm out of the house, they can't come and see me and speak to me. Maybe there's times when I don't want to be disturbed. Maybe I'm preparing a sermon like I'm sharing here, and so I want peace and quiet. And so I'll say, can you give me some peace and quiet for a while so I can work on this? And so there's a limit even to their access to me. But not so with prayer. We have 24/7 access to a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us. And so we can come to Him with all our cares and woes and struggles and joys, and we can bring them to God in prayer. And how should we pray when we talk to Him? It's not a distant relationship. We talk as a child to a loving Heavenly Father. And so there's these privileges that come from being part of this new family. But there's also new family responsibilities as well. Children are to bear the characteristics of their father. One of the things that affects me is I do look like my dad. Once you've seen one Lother, you have seen us all. There are family similarities. But not only do I look like my father, I also have personality traits as well. In fact, my wife Joanne will often say to me, "You're more like your dad as the years go by. The way I speak, the way I act, the way I think, I'm more like my father." Well, don't worry, I say the same thing to Joanne. As we get older, she becomes more like her mother as well. But actually, when we think about our relationship with our Heavenly Father, that is something we should long for. That is a responsibility that we want to grow into, that we want to be more and more like our Father, not in physical looks, because God our Father is a spirit. We're talking about character. And so again, if we look in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 5 and verse 1, listen to these words, listen to this instruction that we're told by the Apostle Paul. He said, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." So one of the responsibilities as beloved children of a Heavenly Father is to be imitators of God. And what is God like? Well, He's holy. He's pure in His character. That's what we should seek after. That's the kind of imitation we need in our lives. I've done, sadly, a number of funerals in the last few days. Two of our church members, Elner McElfatrick and Joe Kincaid. And we have very limited time in these days of coronavirus, and so with restrictions, just 15 minutes at the graveside. And in a very short time, I wanted to honour their life and to do a short tribute there. And for both of them, thankfully, and praise God for this, I was able to describe their godly character. Both Elner and Joe were godly people. Now, what does the word godly actually mean? Do you know what it means? It means they were just like their dad. It means they were just like their Heavenly Father. They were godly. They were like Him in their character. And I'm sure everybody in our church family would agree with me when I describe those two people. That's the responsibility each of us have, that as we work out our faith, as we grow in our Christian lives, we want to become more like our Heavenly Father. We want to grow in godliness. But as we come to an end here this morning, adoption is another gospel jewel. It is another blessing. And what is our response to this glorious truth that we have been adopted in Christ? Well, the first response is praise. That's why the chapter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who adopted us." And so it says even in these verses that it's the praise of His glorious grace. And so the first thing we want to do, if we're part of God's family, is to praise Him. Give thanks that you have been adopted into His family and you have all these incredible privileges that flow from that. So do that. Take some time and praise God that you've been adopted in Christ Jesus. Enjoy it as well. You're no longer strangers to God. You are beloved children. And so enjoy all the blessings now that are yours in Christ Jesus. So don't be anxious. Instead, look to a loving Heavenly Father who cares for you and will meet your needs. Seek His wisdom, seek His care, and all the blessings that flow from Him. Don't live like a prodigal. You know that story that Jesus taught? There was a son who lived with his father, but he thought there was a better life out there away from the father. And so he leaves and he goes away and it's fun for a short time. And then he realizes the life away from the father is a disaster. And he comes back and he's not sure if the father will accept him. He's not sure what will happen next. Will he come back and be treated like a slave? No. Where's a loving father? It's a picture of God. He doesn't wait for the son to come to him, but when he sees him in the distance, he runs to him with open arms to receive him back. Maybe you have been living like that. You are a Christian, but you have wandered off like the prodigal and you've been living your life your way and not God's way, the best way for your life. And if you've been living like a prodigal, you've wandered away from God, His care and His blessings and His goodness, today's the day to come back. Today is the comeback day to come back into His loving arms, into His gracious arms, and start experiencing all the blessings that come from being a member of the family of God. But perhaps you're still at a distance from God. He's your creator, but he's not your father. You've never experienced this close relationship because you've never come through Jesus Christ. Then this morning, come. Come and start to enjoy all the privileges which will be yours in Christ Jesus. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that we can say those words, Father, that you're a loving heavenly Father. And we pray that everyone watching will know the joy of that, the joy of knowing you as their Savior and Father, to be in this close relationship with you. Help us, Lord God, to enjoy the privileges that come, that you're a good God who cares and loves for us, and all these riches, spiritual blessings you want to bestow upon those who have their faith and trust in you. Help us to enjoy them, and help us to take the responsibility of imitating our Heavenly Father, of living a godly life. Fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us to do that for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, in our closing song this morning, we want to express our thanks for all that God has done for us. It's called My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. Thank you for joining us this morning. Do join us again on Wednesday evening. This is a new thing we started last week. So on Wednesday evening, we're going to put a short video up on our Facebook page and our YouTube page as well. And in it, we'll have a short devotional thought. I'm going to share some prayer points just to encourage you to have a church prayer meeting at home in response to things that are happening in the life of our church as well. Do join us again next Sunday at 11 o'clock as well. But let me finish with these words from Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Amen.